This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinals fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Ruffled Feathers right here at Two Birds on a Bat. Coming to you from the Patio Studios. Patio is the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals fans everywhere. Since 1998, pre or post game, Patio's is the place to be. This show is brought to you by Innovated Companies with a special thanks to our good friend Randy Green. Residential, commercial, or industrial, Innovated Companies has you covered. Don't forget the 15% discount for all military and first responders. The construction, electrical, or heating and cooling teams are ready to tackle any project. That's our good friends at InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, folks, I feel like you get on these shows sometimes. Oh, by the way, Jim's not here this week. He's taking the week. I don't know what he's doing. He's busy. He's asked me to step in. And I don't know if it's this show or other ones I do. I do so many of these in a week, I kind of forget what I've talked about from time to time or what I've brought up. But, man, if times aren't crazy enough, a lot of us, in certain, I guess, regions in the U.S. are kind of stuck at home, but now our kids are stuck at home with us. So not only do we try to hold down day jobs, we've got to be teachers at the same time, social workers at the same time, principals. Today, I feel like I'm a prison warden, and I'm about to let the inmates out on the yard for about an hour because they're driving me nuts. So this is going to be a rough ride. It's going to be a rough show. You don't want to hear about my problems. I'm doing pretty well compared to some people that I've run into. So no complaints here, but there's plenty to talk about regarding baseball. And when I say plenty to talk about, it's plenty to talk about of what our team just isn't doing, what nobody is doing in the National League Central. It's like they're holding a damn yard sale, and all these other divisions are improving, at least on paper. But I'm not going to do this by myself today. I brought in an old friend, an old colleague. You know him as Papa Swope out there on Twitter. That's my good friend, Brian Swope, former writer when we were together at Cards on Deck. I know he's got some Redbird rants under his belt, but currently writes for GatewayCitySports.com. Brian, it's really great to talk to you again, man. I know it's been a while since we've been able to speak, but how you holding up? Because I know you had a bout with coronavirus, but you look good right now.
Yeah, I'm doing good, Ron. Good to be here, man. Thanks as always for having me on. Coronavirus sucks. Don't get it if you can help it. Still have some lingering effects, you know, the occasional headache and brain fog. But other than that, doing great, man. I'm back at work and, back to the grind.
Yeah, you know, it scared me when you got it. And it's you were just like a couple other guys that I know. And you might not have been as skeptical of the virus up front, but another friend of mine was. You know, he wasn't as far as on the fence where this is all a hoax, but he was like, I think the media and maybe people are being overly cautious and it can't be that bad. It's just a really bad cold. And then it arrived at his doorstep and he's singing a whole different tune after that. Now he's actively out there. People, it's real. Take precautions. Just wear that piece of cloth. I know you guys think it's silly, but please just put it on because, those have to have some, you have to put some type of defense on yourself and then to, protect others as well. So it's fun. It's strange to see some people just completely do a 180 on that. I don't know if you quite fall into that category, but I know that all of us in the beginning were a little bit like, is this a thing? Is this really happening? And boy, it's creepy, man. 10 months into this.
It is crazy. We lost my grandma on January 1st, New Year's Day. She caught it And but she had some pre-existing conditions, and they took every precaution. She was living with my aunt. They took every precaution in the world, and she still caught it. So I've been saying from the beginning, and I still say it even after getting it and after losing my grandma, like, take it seriously. Like, don't live recklessly, but don't live your life in fear either. Like, simple precautions, and you'll be fine. But yeah, it's not anything to mess around or play with. So if you are listening and you think that it's just a hoax, believe me firsthand, it is not. And, it's no fun.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think that, you know, we've been cautious here too. We've got, you know, some in-laws down the street. One of them had, chemotherapy in their past, which compromises an immune system. So we try to be really careful, but I totally agree. Look, you can have your freedom, but just take that one little measure, even if you think it's silly, because they do work. Are they 100% effective? No. Well, guess what? Condoms aren't either. So look, I mean, nothing's perfect. You know, you don't have a force field around you, but, avoid gas stations if you can, because those are the places I've seen probably 75% of people walk in and out of a gas station, just don't have anything on. And I just find it still incredible to this day, with almost 400,000 dead now, people are still just not taking that little measure. But whatever, nobody's listening to this podcast to hear about coronavirus. They hear that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we'll just get away from that real quick. Brian, I know you wrote an interesting article recently for Gateway City Sports, just regarding the National League Central and it being a dumpster fire. And I refer to it as a yard sale, a flea market. I don't. Look, there's a reason behind all of this, I'm sure. I just don't quite know what it is. And I don't know if I buy it. And Jim and I talk about it every week. But just what's your take overall? I mean, it's not hard to find a reason to write about it or motivation to write about it, because we're all seeing it, but you put a piece together. So I'd just like for you to kind of walk through that.
Yeah, no, I was looking at what the NL Central teams were doing. And we all knew that the Cardinals weren't going to be very active in the offseason. They rarely are, you know, the past, you know, a few off seasons, but it seemed like the entire division is just completely dismantling. You know, the Pirates traded away Josh Bell. They just traded away Joe Musgrove. You know, the Cubs are getting rid of, it seems like, everybody. And you know, you just look around, and to me, I looked at it and I thought, man, the only team that I see that's actually kind of trying to improve is the Brewers. And it makes sense with all of these other teams just getting rid of people, then it's a division that's wide open. Like, anybody could win this division if they would just, you know, put a little bit of effort into acquiring some players to get better. And it just doesn't seem like many of the NL Central teams are interested in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, and we can go through the list of reasons, but I think they've been gone over, like, you know, at nauseam, right? Like the uncertainty around revenue. Are we going to have full stadiums? Are we going to have partially empty stadiums? And what are they able to start with? We do understand now that, at least according to the commissioner, we're going to be getting 162 games, but we don't know how many of those games are going to have fans. And I know, Brian, I'm kind of sitting in a place now where I'll believe it when we start the season, when it normally starts. I'll believe it then. I really don't know how it's going to be done right now.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my wife about this. She's not a huge sports fan, and she made the comment the other day, like, I wonder if people are going to realize that they don't need sports in their life anymore, because they've gone so long without it. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I wouldn't go that far. Mm-hmm. But you look at, like, baseball, like Major League Baseball, why can they not get this figured out? You know, the NFL's figured it out. The NBA's figured it out. NHL's figured it out. Why can't MLB get this thing figured out and sorted out? I don't understand. I mean, you look at playoff games for the NFL this past weekend. I don't know if you watched, but there were fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. Like the Arrowhead Stadium was, I think, at least half full. I mean, you can't tell me that you can't figure out a way to put fans in the seats. It boggles my mind when all of these other, you know, sports leagues are able to do it. Why can't MLB figure this out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, really. And it started last year, right? When they didn't come back until the end of July, when they probably could have come back at the beginning of July if they just would have gotten on the same page, right? And that was a bummer. And you wonder how much of this is because of CBAs around the corner. And maybe it has nothing to do with that, but I'm kind of with you there. I mean, I think it's going to be a long time till we see a packed house again.
Yeah. But,
and it probably should be that way. So just getting back to the Central though, yes, the Cardinals are on, I guess, whether you feel that way or you just believe it on paper right now, they're not any better than they are last year. In fact, they might have taken a step backwards. You're two guys out of the starting rotation. One we know is not going to be there in Dakota Hudson in 21. The other one remains unsigned, and that's Adam Wainwright, who was one of their more stable, if not best, pitcher from last year as a whole. So we're minus our basically our middle linebacker on defense. Yadi's not signed either. He's still a free agent technically. Now, rumor is they've both had offers. I don't know what those offers might have been. I don't know. Were they initial? Were they just a low ball figure? We have no idea. But right now, Brian, they're no better than they are last year. They may actually be worse.
Yeah, no, on paper right now, I'd say the Cardinals are worse, especially when you look up the middle. A lot of the best teams are built up the middle, really strong on defense. And you're looking at Yadi not being there possibly, and you're missing a Gold Glover and Colton Wong now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that right there, I mean, what are you going to do defensively there? Is Tommy Edman a Gold Glove second baseman? I don't know. You know, we haven't really seen enough of him to be able to make that assessment. I think he can hold his own at second, but is he going to give you the kind of elite defense that a Colton Wong would? I'm just not there yet to believe that. Harrison Bader, we know is great defensively, but gosh, they got to do something with that offense. And surprisingly enough, if you look at the numbers, out of all their outfielders last year, Harrison Bader actually performed the best. And he gets, you know, most of the brunt of the criticism there. Mm-hmm. But he actually performed overall the best, last season. So, you know, what are you going to do with the outfield? You know, to me, I think the book is probably out on Tyler O'Neill. We know what Harrison Bader is. We know what Dexter Fowler is. You know, if Dylan Carlson lives up to his potential, you know, that there's an offensive boost. But still, I mean, you're missing two pieces of the rotation. You know, you're missing Yadi, who basically is the on-field coach. What are you going to do with those guys? And Adam Wainwright, a huge clubhouse leader, not just, you know, a great pitcher, but just a great guy to have in the clubhouse. How do you replace those guys? Like that, those are two franchise icons right there. And I don't know how you replace them.
Yeah. I mean, a tough thing to turn the page on, right? I mean, that really does start a new chapter, I think, for the Cardinals. I mean, once those two are not playing or not donning that uniform anymore, it's the page is turned, right? And so half of us are kind of reluctant to turn that page. You've got the little bit younger crowd that can't wait to turn that page because Andrew Kisner is supposed to be the next Gold Glove catcher. I don't agree. We haven't seen enough of him yet. Actually, I can't say I agree or disagree with him because we haven't seen him yet. He's only had 69, I think, major league at bats. So we really don't know what we have in that guy. But, you know, going back to Colton Wong, because you mentioned him, and that was obviously the first sign that this was going to be a disturbing offseason, right? I mean, that was like yeah. Canary in the coal mine right there. Like, we better all get out of here. Look, it wasn't so much that I believe Tommy Edman can't play an adequate second base. He's not going to be on a lot of highlight reels, maybe, but I think he'll be steady. I think he's a smart player, and I like him. I wouldn't have so much of a problem with him moving over to second if it didn't create that thing over at third base. Now you got a situation over there where now you got to play Carpenter there. I mean, he's right now looking at it, like you're starting Matt Carpenter. I know he's on his last year. They'll probably, I don't know that he's going to get to his amount at bats to have his option kick in. I can't see them letting that happen. But looking at right now, that's who you're out of the gate with at third base. I probably have a bigger problem with that, Brian, than I do. Actually the decision to let Colton Wong goes, there's nobody really to man third that you want at third right now. And you mentioned
Other thing you lose there too is you lose your leadoff hitter, and then you're putting Carpenter back in the leadoff spot. He's done well there before, but the past, you know, two, three seasons, he's really gone downhill offensively. And right before the Cardinals gave him that big contract, the contract extension, you know, all of the signs were there pointing to his decline. You know, he had two good months back in, what was it 2018? can't remember if it's 2018 or 2019.
It was 2018. He had
two good months where, you know, he looked like an MVP, but then by mid July into August, I mean, it was just anemic. There was nothing there. And so not only are you pinning your hopes on him at third base, but then you're also pinning your hopes on him in the leadoff spot. I don't see where this makes the team better. Like you said, I think it's taking the team a step backwards, to be honest. And I like Carpenter. I mean, he's a great guy, but I think he's well into his decline. And as much as you like a guy, it's similar situation with Yachty. Like, if it's time to let him go, it's time to let him go.
Yeah, I would. This is obviously a show that has Yadier's brother on the flagship show when they get it going again on Thursdays with Benji. So we've talked about, you know, that topic a lot, and I think the fan and all of us wants to see him end his playing career wearing, you know, the birds on the bat. We all want to see that. I can't wait till he gets his statue out there next to, you know, Lou Brock and Bob Gibson and Red and all those guys. That's going to happen. His number is going to be retired. He's going to be definitely a Cardinals Hall of Famer. Don't know if he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he should.
He should be.
Yeah. I mean, the fan and all of us wants it to end that way. It feels like the right way. I'd hate to think that 2020 was the last time he wore a Cardinals uniform in an empty stadium. That would just be a bummer, right? So it feels right. But then again, and I've told Jim on here before, if it was the Cardinals' decision, and this was his decision all along, that they were going to turn the page after 2020 and, you know, they got to get Kisner going. You know, he's not going to get any better sitting, you know, playing 20 to 30 games if he gets that much in 2021. We want to start him now. We believe that's our future, and we got to start today. I wouldn't like that, Brian, but I would understand that at least it's a direction and we know what's going on. I think we're all, in a matter of, I think, less than a week, Brian, we're not going to be talking about this anymore anyway, because I do believe that both him and Adam will be returning. I don't see a scenario where they're not going to let that happen, especially going into an uncertain year where they haven't done anything else. And I believe part of the reason is because they don't have those guys signed yet. And they may not do anything after that. I've emotionally prepped myself for nothing to happen. It's like business as usual, it feels like, with the exception of a Goldschmidt and Ozuna deal. But I just think 21 is going to be what it is. And I do feel the closer we get to it, that 22 is the year they can make some significant moves. They do have some payroll coming off the books. I think they've got a committed payroll minus arbitration numbers of around $55 million. That's according to Ben Cerruti, who was on here a few weeks ago. That's a lot of room to play with. If they think by 2022, if we don't have a work stoppage and this virus is all under control and it's past us, you know, they could make some significant moves. The only thing scary about that, Brian, is that's not their way of doing it. They generally don't win the bidding wars. They always they finish a second, maybe a distant second in some cases, but they don't win those. So I just wonder how that's all going to shake out. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because I don't write a season off as a fan. We haven't done that. Whoops. Sometimes I forgot I had my phone hooked up to the board here. I'm getting a spam call, and they're probably calling about my car's expired warranty, trying to get me to buy one. About four or five times a day I think that happens. But yeah, Brian, I don't get too far ahead of myself into 2022, but probably my expectations are as low as they ever have been going into a season right now, because I don't care what they do. They can sign both of those guys and they can pick a bunch of these non-tenders up. I don't think they're bridging that gap with the Padres, the Dodgers, the Braves, and now the Mets. What are you going to do with those? Do you make the playoffs? Are you getting past any of those teams at this point? And it's really hard to see. And I'd throw the Nationals in there now, too.
Yeah, I think because of how the Central looks, I think you can still make the playoffs just by winning the Central, but you're not going to go far.
Right.
And if we're looking ahead to 2022, like you said, you know, $55 million on the books, you know, not counting, you know, arbitration, how that goes. Mm-hmm. At that point, you know, you're looking at, we went from, I think a total salary of like, I think it was in the 160s, $161 million, I think, mm-hmm. down to, I think, 131, 133, somewhere in there.
Sounds about right.
So that's some extra money there. And then when you take all that other money off the books, if they're smart, you know, that's the big if they play it right, then you're talking about, you've got maybe, you know, an Ivan Herrera up, you know, mm-hmm. he's exciting young catcher, Nolan Gorman, you know, and then you've got Dylan Carlson. You've got a good young core there to build around. And of course the Cardinals always produce good pitching. So I wouldn't worry about that. You've got those guys. And then if you can augment that, because it's, you're not going to be spending a lot of money on those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to be, you know, still, you know, pre-arbitration years at that point. And so before, you know, obviously we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but you know, before adding all of the, you know, any other pieces you might need, here you are, you're sitting with, you know, a good young core, cost controlled. And if they're smart, that's the time to make a splash and to get the big free agent if he's available.
I want to pivot to another subject real quick, Brian, because this is an interesting one. It came to us from the Patterson Tire and Service text line. But before I do that, I just want to remind everybody where to find us. You can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Please click subscribe to the podcast. It takes about 30 seconds. And best of all, it's absolutely free. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook at Two Birds on a Bat. On Instagram, we're at Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can also find us on lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. So this I'm going to read this question, Brian, but I think it's a good one. It's an interesting one. It's a bit of new Cardinals news, but I think we've expected it to come year over year over year, and it just hasn't. He's kept going. But I want to get to this here in a second, but it comes to us from the Patterson Tire and Service text line. It allows us to hear from you, the fans. Please give our friends at Patterson Tire and Service an opportunity for your business. Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store, as they also specialize in automotive repair. Give them a call at 618-797-6711 for a quick quote. Set up an appointment today and head on down to 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City to find out why they are the best in the business. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Brian, your thoughts, just impressions. Of course, 95% of these texts we get have no name to them. I don't know if there's a character limitation or what. It's a pretty simple question. I think it's just asking us our thoughts on this being Mike Shannon's last year in the radio booth. It'll be what, 50 years he's done this. And you know, before I even talk about it, just get your thoughts, because I know you've heard a lot of that voice throughout the years as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna miss hearing Mike Shannon behind the mic. It just, his knowledge of the game is almost unparalleled. I mean, he spent so many years playing with the game. He's been in the organization over 50 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, so this is a guy who really, you talk about, you know, franchise icons, guys that have, you know, when you think about the Cardinals, you think about these guys. Mike Shannon is one of them. And how many, you know, kids growing up or guys who are used to listening to games on the radio, you know, listen to Shannon call the games. And, you know, I've talked to guys that they'll watch the Fox Sports Midwest, you know, live game, but then they'll turn on mm-hmm. the radio to hear Shannon call it. You know, my favorite thing about Mike Shannon, though, is he sometimes has trouble pronouncing players' names. Yeah. I swear one time he called JT Realmuto rum potato. And that to me was just, it was fantastic. And I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss, you know, the boggling of the names, but I'm also going to miss the baseball knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, when he comes to call a game, you know, he comes with his A game every time. And it just seems like second nature for him. And it's hard to find that. It's hard to find someone who can call the game, but makes it so much fun. I mean, I've never listened to a broadcast where Shannon was just not there having a great time. And I think it's what every fan wants, is to just enjoy the game. And Shannon makes that possible.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, that was part of the, you know, the your soundtrack of me as a young baseball fan was hearing him and Jack for so many years. And when we lost Jack, of course, we had a couple tough years there. I think his name was Wayne Hagen, I think, that replaced Jack initially. That chemistry just wasn't quite what it was. Although, you know, Wayne Hagen's a fine announcer. He did the Rockies games for years. But, you know, really, I enjoyed him and John Rooney. They had a really good chemistry together. I'm going to miss the stories. You know, I'm going to miss the sometimes goofiness, but that's him. That's his brand. I'm going to miss the Shannonisms. And you're right. I mean, you think of Cardinals media, there's right now, I mean, of course, there's always the legend of Jack Buck, but you know, Mike Shannon, in my opinion, is right there, right? Is he as polished as Jack was? No, that wasn't his schooling. That wasn't his training, but he was perfect at it. I mean, he was that perfect commentator there. I love how he calls the early innings and he calls the late innings. Genuine excitement in his voice. If you didn't love that, you wouldn't have done it that long, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
so
exactly.
You know, it's just it's there'll be a lot more of that this year. And on my part, you mentioned, you know, turning on the radio broadcast over the one of the things I enjoy about one of the few benefits I have about living so far away from St. Louis is that I can get the MLB.TV package. And if you're watching on a computer, a laptop, which most of the time I'm relegated to because my other family takes up most of the TVs in the place, I don't get a say. but if I am watching it on a laptop, they have an option to overlay the radio feed. I've done that many times. Some games I turn off all the feeds and I just hear the ambient ballpark sound, which is kind of cool. There'll be a lot more of that this year, given it's going to be his last year. And so that takes nothing away from Danny Mac, who I'll be talking to tomorrow. You know, we love Danny Mac too, and he's definitely the TV voice, but Mike Shannon is the radio voice, and I guess that baton will be passed on to John Rooney. So, it's bittersweet. You know, you're happy for the guy. He can kind of relax and enjoy life and move on to the next chapter. He'll still be at the ballpark every now and then. I imagine they'll get him in the booth when he does stop in just to say hi. And here comes my daughter into the room to just bust it all up. Hi, honey. Okay.
I mean, you know, and I know, you know, we both mm-hmm. served in the military, you in the Marines, me in the Air Force, and not being close to home, like Mike Shannon, you know, those radio broadcasts sometimes were all we could get.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to miss that.
Yeah, sorry, I really Brian, I lost you there for a second. My daughter put something down and hit a button on my board and it muted you. but that's okay. That's okay. We keep going through it. You were probably saying something really good. You know, just to cap it off about Mike Shannon, I'm going to miss that voice for sure. And we'll have to deal with it like Dodgers fans have had to deal with Vin Scully retiring. I'm sure that was hard too. So just like all things in baseball, as much as we dread them happening after they happen, a couple of years later, we tend to move on nicely, I think, as fans. And that'll happen with things like the DH. When they do arrive in the National League, we'll all get over it a few years later. But definitely a voice I will miss.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Back to a little bit of business here. I know this is going to be a shorter show today because we both have engagements here at noon. We've got to get to. But, you know, Brian, just looking at what has been done out in the National League West, I want to start there. I mean, my goodness, yeah. Right? The Padres, a team I've given them a hard time, and it's been really unreasonable and it hasn't been deserved. I've given them a hard time for years. Their Rule 5 pilfering was not illegal. They didn't do anything wrong. They just happened to do it to the Cardinals 2 years in a row, and it just kind of irked me for some reason. And it didn't matter. I mean, those players really didn't, I guess, nice players, but they didn't really matter at the end of the day. So they added yet another one you mentioned earlier, Musgrove as a relief pitcher. And you just go down the list of who they've acquired on top of what was already a pretty good team in 2020. What are you thinking if you're the Dodgers right now? Do you still know that they're just not quite good enough? Or are you thinking, uh-oh, I kind of feel like if I was a Dodgers fan, I would have felt like I did in 2015 when the Cubs were coming. That's what I imagine a lot of Dodgers fans may be feeling like right now.
And I think that's an accurate assessment. The Padres were already really good last year, you know, really good. And now they're just adding more ammunition. And man, I tell you what, if I'm the Dodgers, I feel like I'm still in a pretty comfortable position. Because the Dodgers are the Dodgers. I mean, they're right. they are, in my mind right now, they've passed the Cardinals as the class of the NL. I mean, just the way they do things, the way they go about it, the way they run the team. I think they're phenomenal. But the Padres are a team that, you know, for years we said, you know, they've got some great young players. You know, they could really make some noise. They've got some great young players. They could really make some noise. And it just didn't seem to pan out until last year. And they completely shredded us in the playoffs, made us look like we didn't even belong there. And so I think when you add to what they already had and good grief, you're looking at a team that's ready to just really break out. And I think the 2015 Cubs is a perfect example. Young, young, good core, cost control talent, and now you see him out there making moves. Man, look out, because I really think the Padres could make some noise this year, more so than last year.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't think that going into this, right? You've added some, they've added some serious arms, and I don't know, man. I don't know if they're done yet or not, but I think that will be. And I thought this last year too. I thought, man, the National League Central is 1-9 in the playoffs last year, right? I mean, they just there was only the Cubs. I think only played two games. Like they lost. Like National League Central only won one playoff game last year, and so they, you know, I think they proved your point, right? Okay, anybody, three teams could have ended up winning NL Central just by staying alive or making it to the playoffs, and that's essentially what they did. But yeah, you're not getting past teams like that. So I don't, I know the whole theory about, hey, anything can happen in a short series. True, but it was unlikely, and you felt that. But okay, so the Dodgers, I don't know. My thing I was waiting for after the Mets acquired Lindor and after the Padres made some moves, I'm like, oh, Dodgers are going to be signing somebody here soon, right? Are they gonna sign a Trevor Bauer? Are they gonna do something as a reactionary move? But it hasn't quite happened yet. But I wouldn't be surprised. I'm actually looking forward to seeing a couple showcase games, I think, this year of those two teams playing. I think that's gonna be fun to watch. And so, you know, hey, good if you're a West Coast fan, you know, good for you this year. Now let's go over the East. The Mets. I felt this one coming. As soon as that ownership changed, I had a feeling that, one, I didn't call necessarily Francisco's Lindor trade to the Mets, but I predicted that that's where he was ultimately going to sign once he became a free agent, because they were going to have the deep pockets at that point. And I got to admit, you know, they are pond scum. If you remember the 19, the teams from the 80s, you know, there was a rivalry because we were National League Eastern Division foes. There were only two divisions in the National League at that time. It will be fun seeing the Mets spend stupid money again. It really will. And when teams like that aren't spending, you wonder how much that has impacted free agency classes over the last, you know, 6 to 8 years. And I think it does have some sort of an impact. But it's good to see a wild spender back out and active again in New York. And they're going to try to make a statement. They're competing with not only their division foes, but they're competing in that market with the Yankees. So adding a name like Lindor, that's a pretty significant step. And Carlos Carrasco, don't want to ignore that one either. So the East is, and then go down to the Nationals. The Braves haven't really done a ton. I think they signed a catcher.
I haven't checked in on the Braves yet.
They brought in an arm. I the name is escaping me right now, but the Nationals have made a little bit of noise too. Looks like they're going to sign John Lester. They've already brought in Kyle Schwarber. They didn't have a great year in 2020, but I think that's still a team you can't ignore out there in the East. But anyway, Brian, it's a long, very long-winded way for me to say all these other divisions seem to be way more interesting than the Central, at least going into 21. And I hate to say that, but I just feel that way.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, we hate to say it, but I think you're right, to be honest. And I think the consensus around the league was that free agency was going to kind of be on hold until the new Mets ownership group came in. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea around the league was that the Mets were going to buy up all the big free agents. And while they haven't done that, they've certainly made some huge moves, you know, Lindor and Carrasco being the biggest of them.
Yeah.
I think that was a very smart move. And I think they could, you know, definitely sign Lindor. I think that, that he's the kind of guy that you build a franchise around. Mm-hmm. And if the Mets are really looking to rebound and to, you know, compete with the Yankees in that market, you know, that's a guy you have to have, for sure. And the Nationals, you know, not just, you know, Lester, Schwarber, but you mean, you talk about the Josh Bell trade. I mean, that is already a stacked team.
Yep.
And then you add those guys to that. And it's exactly what you say. You know, the other divisions in the National League are getting better. And, you know, the Central has become, you know, I call it a dumpster fire. You call it a yard sale. either way, they're getting rid of everything they have. Mm-hmm. And the other teams are benefiting from it. You know, I think I said in that piece, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And, you know, the East and the West divisions are finding some treasure inside the NL Central that everybody else seems to be getting rid of.
Yeah, and you would like to see our team just take a few more risks like they used to. I mean, look, I'll go back to point to one example, and I always forget that this player was a Cardinal until we get in moments like this, then I'm reminded. Tony Womack in 2004. Cardinals signed him to a one-year deal coming off Tommy John surgery. He was basically Boston's trash, you know, and they took a low risk, high reward, and it paid off for him in 2004. And of course they let him walk. I think he went to the Yankees after that. But I would just like to see a move or two like that more often. And yes, Brad Miller was a nice player. He had a halfway decent year. He had a good little streak there, right? At the beginning, right? When he was hitting home runs off the Cubs, couldn't have been a better team to do that against. but quite honestly, it's just like, I'd like to see him push a little bit farther than that. And they're just not, there's no, I don't know, Brian, there wasn't enough excitement on the field for me last year, other than seeing Dylan Carlson make his debut. And there's not a lot of excitement in the off season with our team either. And I think people are just anxious and we're getting fatigued from it.
Yeah. And I think what you're getting is you're getting a team that's, rather bland, as far as things go. I think the most exciting thing on around the team right now is off the field, you know, with Jack Flaherty and with Yachty. I mean, that was the most exciting stuff that happened around the Cardinals last year, you know, aside from Dylan Carlson. And when you talk about taking a risk, they had the perfect opportunity to do that last year by offering Ozuna a one-year deal. You know, and I at the time thought that he needed to be re-signed. I was of the mindset that he still wasn't right from the shoulder injury. And I thought that he struggled with that. And Atlanta signs him. And guess what? He proves me right. Those are the kind of deals that the Cardinals used to make that they don't make now. And, you know, again, you talk in 2004, you know, that was Walt Jocketty era. You know, that you look at Mo now, and I'm not going to call myself a Mo apologist. But I think that he's done a good job. You know, he has made some trades. He traded for Ozuna. He traded for Goldschmidt, you know, was able to sign Goldschmidt before he ever even put the uniform on, you know, so that was a good move. But it's not so much that the Cardinals don't spend money. They don't spend money wisely.
Yeah.
And our good buddy Dan Buffa wrote an article, I think for KMOV in St. Louis, about how the Blues have surpassed the Cardinals as the premier sports organization in town. And a lot of that is because they spend money wisely, you know, and it's not that the Cardinals don't spend it. They spend what we call stupid money on guys like Carpenter and guys like Fowler, who, if you ask any fan when those deals were made, would have told you that was a bad idea. You know what? But why is it that the fan seems to have more knowledge than the front office does?
It does. Well, we feel that way. Whether that's true or not, we ultimately don't know. But I look at a couple other ones, Brian, as you're going through the list there. I look at I'm bad with names today, but the Mike Leake was another signing that didn't work out. Brett Cecil signing Luke Gregerson to be your closer was crazy. I thought at the time, like, how in the hell are we anointing him a closer? I just did, you know. Fan graphs didn't even see it, but somehow the Cardinals were looking at different numbers, different analytics, I guess, and they thought different. But, you know, I was okay with Ozuna, with them parting ways. I was okay at the time, but also, Brian, I will say I would have been fine if he would have accepted that one-year qualifying offer, or if, to your point, if they would have just signed him on a one-year deal for a little bit more money, I would have been okay with that too. I also understood their desire to see what they had in the young outfield. I get it. And if they would have had a full season, I wish, if there's one thing I go back and change 2020, get a full season in so they can finally answer that question and not give them an excuse to go into 21 with the same logic. Well, we didn't see enough in 20. It was a weird year. So we got to see what we got in them again. None of us want to hear that. But I have a feeling that, I have a feeling that we might not hear it, but that's what's going to happen. So look, my intention was not to make this a Debbie Downer podcast today, although it feels like it, you know, with Jim not being here. But look, you pointed to it earlier and I moved off of it too quickly, but there is some good news on the horizon with what we have in the system. If they supplement that with what they could potentially do with their money in 2022, you know, this thing can be turned around. And right now I know that a lot of us are looking at like, what's the direction, what strategy, where is this team going? we all have questions on it right now, but I do see a way out of this beginning really in 2022. But in the meantime, I hope we get Yadi Molina and Adam Wainwright back in uniform for 21. Let them retire in front of the crowd. Let them go out in their own way, and we'll see what happens after that. But
yeah, I think that's what's going to happen too. I don't see a scenario where Yadi and Wainwright are not back. And to get off the Debbie Downer, I want to encourage Cardinals fans and tell you guys, hey, don't get discouraged. You know, of course, 21 might not be exactly what we want it to be. 2020 wasn't what we wanted it to be. But after the CBA gets sorted out and there's some more certainty, there's one thing we know about these Cardinals, and that's they're always going to be competitive. Are they going to be competitive enough to challenge for the World Series? We hope so, but we always know we're going to be in the mix. And as a fan, you can't really ask for much more than that, than to have your team consistently competitive, consistently, you know, being in the mix. So, you know, Cardinals fans we're spoiled. We're the spoiled rich kids of MLB. So we sometimes we got to be able to take our hits, and this year might be the year we have to take a hit before things get really good again.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself, Brian. And I got to thank you for taking the time out today to join me, subbing in for Jim. Why don't you tell everybody, Brian, where they can find all your work?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Papa Swope, and I'm writing right now for Gateway City Sports. So just gatewaycitysports.com, and give us a follow, give us a like, and we'll continue to provide great content for you.
That's right. Thanks again, Brian, and it was great to talk to you again. We'll be doing more of this because also it's no secret I'm also a part of Gateway City Sports, and I've moved the Team Arrivals podcast actually over that into that umbrella, if you want to put it that way. So looking forward to tomorrow myself personally for that show. We're welcoming on Dan McLaughlin on tomorrow. I haven't told Dan that there are two Cubs fans on the show yet, so hopefully he just doesn't hang up. But you can check that out over at Team of Rivals podcast. You can find links to that show on gatewaycitysports.com as well. Brian, once again, thanks, man. Looking forward to doing it again here down the road, because I know we'll be getting back together for a roundtable likely here early February, late January, somewhere around there. Hopefully we've got some, hopefully we've got a little nugget or two to talk about that's yeah, positive. I think we can do that. So, all right, before we go, I'd like to thank our featured partners, starting with Mike and his wonderful crew at Adams Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Adams is home to the best barbecue in St. Louis. They do big box orders, catering, and of course, when it's safe and they open back up, they'll do in-house dining again. If you want the full experience, head on down to Adam's Smokehouse, meet Mike and the gang, decide from their awesome menu. You will not be disappointed. That's our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Make sure to check out our friend at KristenJacobs.com. Dr. Kristen Jacobs would like to remind everybody that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Make sure to check out her Ooh La La Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. That's our good friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs. And finally, don't forget our friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Located in both Missouri and Illinois, if you're looking for the right organization to help your youngster with the game of baseball or softball, look no further than Gators Baseball Academy and their four-pillar system. To learn more, check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, folks, we'll get the big guy back next week. Until then, let's go Birds!